Today's Shir's Masechta Yuma Daf Nun Aleph. We will begin Daf Nun Amud Beis. The Gemara, four lines from the bottom, Shem Zavach Loik Tani. In our previous Shir, we had learned the Braisa, where the Braisa had compared the halacha of a Zavach, the halacha of a carbon, versus the halacha of Tamura. You know the Tarek Kedosh and Parshas B'chukaisa says, Lo Yomirenu. That when you bring a carbon, you shouldn't exchange one for the other. But the Gemara says, "If Hama Yamar Isai, if one were to do so, v'hayuhu usmarasa yakaidish, both of the animals are kaidish." And Braisa had compared the halacha of tamura to the halacha of a carbon. And in order to understand the Braisa had said that when we speak about tamura, Shem Tamura, we speak about Tamura as a category. But when we speak about Zevach, when we speak about Kabbanis, we don't speak about them as a category. We speak about specific Kabbanis. And as the Gemara had said in our previous Shir, the two Kabbanis that may be spoken about are either a par of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur or the aisle that the Kohen Gadol brings on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara had asked that just like when the Braisa referred to Tamura, we said it's referring to the category of Tamura. So why, too, don't we say that when speaking about Kabbanis, it's not speaking about any one specific carbon, but rather understand it as Shem Zavach. It's speaking about a category of regular Kabbanis. And the Gemara said, Shem Zavach like Tani. When we speak about Kabbanis, we don't speak about it as a category. We rather speak about them as individuals' Kabbanis. Says the Gemara, Memai, why are we making this kind of distinction that when we speak about Kabbanis, we're comfortable in saying that we're speaking about only about a specific carbon, but when we speak about Tamura, we speak about a category. Memai, says the Gemara, Midik Tani, because let's review what it said in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Chomer b'tamura. What is a chomer that tamura has over Kabbanis? Shetamura chala ba'almum kavua. Even if the animal that you're making for tamura, you're using as a tamura, was a ba'almum, and the tamura is effective, and therefore that animal, even though obviously cannot be brought as a carbon, any yotz l'chulon l'gozes l'avid, when you redeem it, you could only use it for eating. You can't cut the wool. You can't work with it. If we're going to say that when the Braisa says Zevach, it also means not about a specific carbon, but rather it's referring to Shem Zevach, the category of Kabbanis, says the Gemara Ha'ikab, Bechor. So we have the same halacha of a Bechor. The definition of a Bechor is the animal, the first male-born animal. Now that first male-born animal has that halacha, whether it's a balmum or not. The same thing, the way they took Maisa Behemah. The way Maisa Behemah is taken is every tenth animal, they take the animals through the door, and every tenth animal is the Maisa Behemah. The cholin, that the halach is that it's a bechor or it's Maisa, even a balmum kavoa. And the halach is that even though obviously an animal which is a balmum cannot be brought as a carbon, still the halacha is any yoitz l'chulon l'gazus loved. Even when they're redeemed, they cannot be used for taking the wool or for working with them. So it can't mean that we're speaking about kabbanis as a general category. Could then this chumra that the Braisa identified that tamura has over kabbanis would be inaccurate? Ella shem zevach loktani. It must be we're not speaking about one specific carbon. We're speaking about specific kabbanis, and there are specific kabbanis that the kedusha, if it's a baal mum, is never effective on. But so now ask the Gemara. So by tamura we're saying we speak about categories, and by maisa we say we're speaking about. By tamura we're speaking about a category, and by kabban and by. By Zevach, we're speaking about a specific carbon. So ask the Gemara, Maishna, why indeed does the Braisa take this approach that by Tamur it speaks about a category and by Kabbanis it speaks about a specific carbon? Answers the Gemara, Tamura, Shem Tamura Achasi. All the halachas of Temura are equivalent by all kabbanis. Zavach. But when we speak about kabbanis, Ika b'char v'ika maisa, what we see from this is that not all kabbanis have the same halacha. And therefore, as Rashi explains, when we speak about Temura, we could say that we're speaking about a category, because when we speak about halachas Temura, the halacha of Temura is equal by all kabbanis. And since it's equal by all kabbanis, it could be spoken about as a category. Whereas when we speak about Zavach, every carbon has its own rules. And since each carbon has its own rules, it makes sense that we can't speak about kabbanis as a category. Ask the Gemara. So now we said that, as we said earlier, that when the Braisa speaks about Shavach, it either meant the power of Yom Kippur or the Isle of Yom Kippur. Ask the Gemara, Ulrav Sheshus Adam Makaloi, Ba'il Shalaran, instead of saying it's speaking about that carbon, Lokma Bet Pesach, why shouldn't we say that it's talking about a carbon Pesach? And Tosfos explains, why would we prefer to say that it's speaking about Pesach versus the Isle? Because the Torah Gdosha calls carbon Pesach a Zavach. And since it's called a Zavach, it would make sense that it should be speaking about the carbon Pesach, because when it uses the word Zavach, Lokma Pesach, which the halachas that are expressed in the Braisa apply to the carbon Pesach. Because we know Karm Pesach is Doichas of Shabbos with Tumah, that if Karm Pesach comes out, if Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, we offer the Karm Pesach on Shabbos. If Erev Pesach, if Klai Yisrael is Tumah, we could bring the Karm Pesach, and Oysa Tumura, the Karban Yochari, and it's also a carbon that can make a Tumura, because the Karm Pesach is a carbon Yochid. Answers the Gemara. The reason he did not choose to say that the Zavach referred to in the Braisa is the Karm Pesach, because this Tana is of the opinion that ain't Shachin and Pesach al Yochid, that you only could bring a Karm Pesach for a group. So the Braisa says that a Zavach is brought for, that a Zavach applies by Yochid and by Tzibur. This carbon doesn't apply by Yochid. Ask the Gemara, V'nukme Pesach Sheni. Yes, this man Dama holds like Rabbi Yehuda and Masechta Psochim, that a carbon Pesach cannot be brought by Yochid. It has to be brought by a group of people. But Pesach Sheni doesn't have that halacha. Answers the Gemara, yes. Pesach Sheni doesn't have the halacha that it has to be brought as in a group. But it doesn't have the halacha either that's Stoich HaTumah. Because the Gemara at this point holds that you can't, that the whole purpose of bringing the Pesach Sheni was because they were Tameh. But if they're Tameh and Pesach Sheni, they don't bring the Karm Pesach Sheni. And here the Gemara said that the Zavach, the Braisa said that the Zavach we're talking about is a Zavach that's brought even, but that's Doich HaTumah. So I saw the Mefarshim ask, Rabbi Yehuda indeed holds that the carbon Pesach comes as a group. But even though it comes as a group, when you magdish it, an individual could be magdish it. The halacha is that the group has to be in place before you shecht it. But when you magdish it, it could be magdish, yochid could be magdish it. So the Sefer Tal Torah answers that even if you have an individual whose magdish an animal is a carbon Pesach, the kedusha is not chal until we see a group. The Sefer Chukas Hayoyim actually says that the Yerushalmi wants to suggest that even though an individual is magdish to Karban Pesach, when people register on it, their registration is effective retroactively from when the Karban was nigdash, from when it was sanctified. If that's the case, so then there's never a moment that the Karban Pesach is brought by Yochid. Says the Gemara that we learned in our previous year that Pesach is a carbon yachid, and Rabbi Meir held that the Pesach is considered a carbon yachid, and Rabbi Yaakov said that the carbon chagiga is considered a carbon tzibur. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Huna Bereid Rav Shul LaRava, the Tana of the previous year that said that carbon Pesach is a carbon yachid, and carbon chagiga is a carbon tzibur. Ask the Gemara, why? My shno, Pesach, the carbon yachid, why is the Pesach called a carbon yachid? Or Maishna Chagiga, the Karlei Karmen Tzibah. And why is the Karmen Chagiga called a Karmen Tzibah? And explains the Gemara. Imishum da asu b'knufya. If you're going to want to explain, because the Karmen Chagiga is brought with all of Klai Yisrael together, so, and that's why it's called the Karmen Tzibah. So ask the Gemara, Pesach nami asu b'knufya. So isn't that the halacha by Karmen Pesach as well? Answers the Gemara, Ika Pesach Sheni, the Pesach Sheni, the Loyos of the Knufya, it doesn't come as a group, it comes by individuals who are Tameim. Says the Gemara, Omlei, if that's the halacha that we're saying, that that when we say Pesach, it includes Pesach Sheni, and the Pesach Sheni does not come by Knufya, ask the Gemara, Im Kain, Yedoichas Shabbos of the Tuma. Remeis said, that it's Doicha Shabbos Tumma. Why not? The Pesach Sheni should be. Remeis said that carbon that we're speaking about is not Doicha Shabbos and Tumma. It's Doicha Shabbos and Tumma. But Pesach Sheni is not Doicha Tumma, we just learned. Amalei in. Commander Amadachi. Rabbi Yehuda that holds. The Pesach Sheni is Doicha Shabbos for Tumah. The Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, Pesach Sheni Doicha Shabbos, Veina Doicha Tumah. And Rabbi Yudaimer, it's Doicha, both Tumah and certainly it's Doicha Shabbos as well. So the Gemara goes in to explain that Machloikus. My Tama, the Tanakama, what's the explanation for the Tanakama that says that the Pesach Sheni is not Doicha Tumah? Amalok, Vimnei Tumah Dechisa, the whole reason why we told this person not to bring Pesach Rishon, but to bring Pesach Sheni, is because he was Tomei. And we want him to bring the carbon with Tahara. So now, what are we going to accomplish? Yasav Tuma? What are we going to accomplish if we say that it should be brought with Tuma? Rav Yehuda Amalach, Rav Yehuda says, the Yehuda who holds that the Pesach Sheni is brought with Tuma, Amalach Amakra, the Pasuk says, regarding the Pesach Sheni, Kechol Chukas HaPesach Yasai Sai. That the Pesach Sheni should be treated equivalently to Pesach Rishon. And just like we know Pesach Rishon comes of Filu B'Tumah, HaTorah Echzira L'Asa B'Tahara, the Torah, of course, wants you to make Karm Pesach B'Tahara. And that's why if somebody was Tamei on Pesach Rishon, we push him off to Pesach Sheni. But if Loi Zocha, if he's still not taught by Pesach Sheni, Yasena B'Tumah, then he says you could bring a B'Tumah. So we go back to our original question. How do we look at the Par Yom Kippurim? Do we look at it as a Karban Yochid? And therefore, it's considered. Do we look at it like a Karban Yochid and therefore it can make a Temura? Or do we look at it like a Karban HaShutfim or a Karban Tzibur that cannot make a Temura? The question that Rabbi Lozer asked in our previous year. And as we explained, the question really hinges, how do we look at the other Kohanim that have a kapara with the par? There's no question, the Torah says, that the other Kohanim also have a kapara through that carbon. How do we look at that relationship? Do we say that they are considered kvua, that they're considered full-fledged members of the bringing of that carbon? Or it's only mikufya, as we explained. It's really the carbon of the Kohen Gadol, they just, so to speak, come along for the ride. And that would be the nafkamina. Is it considered a carbon yachid and therefore can make a tamura, or is it not considered a carbon yachid and can make a tamura? Ask the Gemara, but typically, why can't we answer this question? The Pasuk says, Ashaloi Omer Rachmana. The Torah says, regarding that par of Yom Kippur, Vikrav Aaron as a par chatas ashaloi. And we learn, the Brisa teaches us that the Pasuk is coming to teach us, Mishaloi Humevi. He has to pay from his own funds for that carbon. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, Ashaloi, the carbon, this power is Ashaloi, for we learn from him, Mishaloi Humevi, Veloi Mitzibur. It's his own private funds that are used, not the Tzibur funds. Yochel, Lo Yavi Mishal Tzibur. We would think that you may, that the Brisa is seeing that you shouldn't bring from the Tzibur. Sheinim Eskaprim, boy, because this carbon is only a kapara on behalf of the Kohanim. Ava Yovi mi shel achva kahanim. We should be allowed to use the funds of other kohanim. Shrei echva kahanim miskapram boy, because they have a kapara with this carbon. Tamaloymer ashaloi. It has to be the kohen gadol's funds. Yochaloi. Yochla Yavi, we should not use anyone else's money. However, Mehavi, if they did use the money of the Kohanim, kosher, it would be still a valid carbon. Tamaloima Shuv, there's another pasuk that says with Shakar as a power, Hachatas as Shaloi. The Torah repeats the words as Shaloi to teach us Hashon Alav Akosov. We know when it comes to Kachin, when it comes to Kabanas, if the Torah repeats a din. The reason the Torah repeats the din is to teach us that it's absolutely essential, la'akif. So that if the money used to buy this animal was anyone besides just the kohen gadol, the carbon is not kosher. Well, tameich, ask the Gemara, so now if we're insisting that it's a carbon yachid, because we see how strict the Torah is, that the only money that may be used to buy this carbon is the kohen gadol's money. L'tameich echav kahanim, the other kahanim ilav the kohen bavei, if they don't have any shear in it, hechem chapeluhu. How do they have a kapara if they don't have any shear in it? Says the Gemara. What do we have to say? El shani be'gaz daharin. We have to say that when the kohen gadol spends money on this carbon, what the Torah is saying is that even though the kohen gadol had to use strictly only his money to buy the carbon, the Torah gave a share of that carbon to the other kohanim. And so, says the Gemara, we'll say the same thing as far as Hilchas Tamur is concerned. Hachi gabi Tamur nami, shani begaz darin, da ach rechmona gabi ach of kohanim. And therefore, we can make an argument that even though they didn't, not only are they didn't, but they're not allowed to participate in buying the carbon, but the Torah gives them a share in the carbon. And therefore, even though the Torah, as we just read, says twice the words, parachatas ashaloi, it doesn't mean that the parachatas only becomes, is only the kohen gadol's. It means that we use the money of the carbon chatas. The money of the Karmel Chattas was of the Kohen Gadol was used to buy this carbon, but all the other Kohanim are full-fledged partners in that carbon. And since they're full-fledged partners, as far as Hilchas Tamura would be concerned, it would be considered a carbon Tzibur or a carbon Shutfim, which, as we discussed extensively in our previous year, would not be subject to Hilchas Tamura. There's actually a very interesting vart that I saw based on this Gemara, that we've quoted that Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a question if women should be allowed to daven, mechuyev to daven musaf. Because we know that the musaf that was brought, the carbon musaf that was brought was a carbon tzibur. It was brought from the shkolim that Klal Yisrael contributed. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger suggests that since women don't participate in the machzor shekel, so they're not part of the carbon musaf. So I saw in the Sefer Daf Aladaf, they uses our Gemara as a raya that one has nothing to do with the other. Because what do we see in our Gemara? Even though we just learned in our Gemara how insistent the Torah was that the power has to come strictly from the kohen gadol, that doesn't prevent the Gemara from telling us that the other kohanim are full-fledged partners in that carbon. So we see that you could be a partner in a carbon even though you did not participate financially in that carbon in any way. So the same will be women. Women indeed don't participate in the Machzor HaShekel, but that does not prevent them from being partners in the carbon musaf, and of course are therefore would be obligated to have a carbon musaf no different than a man. So we have been discussing how the kohen gadol gathered together the ingredients that he needed to have to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So, says the Mishnah. So he's going from the Heichel into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So says the Mishnah, Mahalach beHeichel. He walked on the west side of the Heichel, Achim Megillah ben Kproichus, until he came to the Proichus, which is the curtain which separates the Kodesh from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Achimagil Ben Shtei Pareiches, we're going to discuss there were two Pareiches, which were Mavdilois, which separate Ben HaKodesh or Ben Kodesh HaKadoshim, between the Kodesh and the Kohen HaKadoshim, or Bineim, and the space that there was between these two Pareiches was an Amma. There was an Amma in between them. This is an interesting question. As we're about to begin learning, there were two Pareiches, and we learned that the dam was spritzed on the dam of the Karbonis was spritzed on the Pareiches. So the question we need to understand, which of these two Pareiches was the dam spritzed on? We also see, the Mishnah is very clear, says the Yerushalmi, that there was only an Amma between the two Pareiches. An Amma is really a tight space. So the Yerushalmi says that it was done specifically that the Kohen should walk carrying the coals and carrying the Pareiches in a very narrow space, that he should be concentrating on the avoid or nothing else. Rabbi Yosef Melayis Hashem El Pareiches Achas Bilvad. Rabbi Yosef says there was only one Pareiches there. Shnema, as the Torah Kedoshah says, Vivdilai Pareiches, that there's only one Pareiches that separates Ben Kodesh or Ben Kodesh HaKadoshim, between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So I saw that the Sefer Oy Yosef Chai explains that the Tanakhama just said that there were two Pareiches. What is the lesson of the two Pareiches? So he says that the lesson is that the Aron was behind the two Pareiches. So the Aron was kept in a place that was difficult to get to. The Torah should be kept in its knees. If we want to be successful in Torah, what's critically important for us to be successful in Torah, he explains, is that it should come through tznius, through things done in a quiet, unassuming fashion. But as we just learned, Tanakhama says there were two Pareiches, and Rabbi Yossi quoted a pasuk that clearly indicates that there was only one Pareiches. So ask the Gemara, Shapa Kamul Rabbi Yossi Rabbanan, isn't Rabbi Yossi making a very strong point? Rabbanan Amrilach, how do Rabbanan defend himself? They answer, Hani Mili B'Mishkan, when it was in the Mishkan, there was only one curtain. Ava Bai Sheni, but in the Bai Sheni, Kivin Dolai Hava Amatraxin, there wasn't just a wall standing between the Kodesh and Kedoshim. Amatraxin means a wall. And as the Rishonim explained, the Beis HaMikdash Rishon was not that tall. So you could build a wall which would be sturdy enough to separate the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedoshim. But when we speak about the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, where it was much taller, they could not build the wall that should be only an amma deep, and that should be only an amma thick, and be able to stand such a height of 100 amma. So what they did was, they made a curtain. The Mikdash Rishon, says the Gemara, Hudavoy, Rabbanan did not know how to look at that wall. Ikalafnim, is the area of the wall considered part of the base Hamikdash of the Kodesh, or is it considered part of the Kodesh Kodesh and part of the Kodesh? Vavachtei Pareiches, so they made two curtains. And as the Rishonim explained, because if it's considered part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so then you're not allowed to go there. We know you're only allowed to be there, the Kohen Gadol, once a year on Yom Kippur. If it's part of the Kodesh, we're concerned that people are going to do there a void that belongs in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's why they separated this area out, this Am is separated out, and it won't be treated not like Kodesh and not like Kodesh HaKadoshim to avoid making any mistake. There's an interesting discussion. We know that the Kodesh was 40 amas deep. The Kodesh HaKadosh was 20 amas deep. How is this amma counted? Is this amma the 61st amma? Or is this amma taken off from the 40 or from the 40 or from the 20? Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Ben HaMizbeach, the Gemara says, when the Kohen, now the Gemara is going to discuss, as the Kohen Gadol was going to enter, the Beis HaMikdash, we don't know exactly how did he walk to the Beis HaMikdash. And as the Rishonim point out, there are four possibilities. How he could have walked there. It could have been between the north wall and the Shulchan. He could have walked between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach. He could have walked between the Mizbeach and the Menorah, or he could walk between the Menorah and the southern wall. So says the Gemara. Now that we're going to discuss exactly how did he enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Tana Rabbanan, Ben HaMizbeach LeMenorah. He walked between the Mizbeach and the Menorah on the south side of the Beis HaMikdash. HaMahalach, that's how he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Ramei Omer, Ben HaShulch LeMizbeach. He walked between, on the north side, between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach. V'yesh Omerim, and some say that he walked on Ben Shulchan LeKaisel. He walked between the Shulchan and the wall on the north wall. Ask the Gemara, Man Yesh Omerim. First, the Gemara wants to know whose opinion is this, the Yesh Omerim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, it's following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Yossi said in our Mishnah there was only one curtain, and that curtain and the opening to that curtain was Betzofen Koi on the north side, and therefore you had to walk on the north side to get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that they walked on the south side, Amalach, he's going to say that there were two openings, and one opening was on the south side, and then as we explained in the Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol walked through the area between the two curtains, and he came to the north side, Episcopal Dharmakai, and came to the north. So he started with the south side opening. That was the way he entered the Beis HaMikdash, and then he walked towards the north opening. But since the first opening that he walked into was on the south side, he has to walk into the Beis HaMikdash, walk in to the Kodesh Kedoshim from the south side. Vermeya, who held that he walks on the north side, that between the Shulchan and Mizbeach, ask them on command Sfirulei. Whose opinion does Ramei agree with? Ik Rabbi Yehuda Sfirulei, if he holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, that the opening was in the south side, so ask the Gemara, Nail Rabbi Yehuda, so he should walk in through the south side. Vik Rabbi Yossi Sfirulei, and if he holds, like Rabbi Yossi, that there was only one curtain, whose opening was on the north side, so ask the Gemara, so Nail Rabbi Yossi, let him go on the north side. Why does he say that he goes on the north side, but he walks between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach? Answer the Gemara, Lailan Rabbi Yossi Sfirulei. He holds like Rabbi Yossi that there was only one opening, and the opening was on the north side. And therefore, that since there was only one opening, with an opening on the north side, that's why he walked on the north side. Vamalai, but he also says, we know that even though the Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu, when he built the Mishkan, built one menorah, built one shulchan, but Shlomo HaMelech added another 10 shulchanos. And he holds the shulchanos were tzofen udara menachem. The shulchanos were put from south to north, so therefore they blocked any room to walk between the shulchan and the wall. And therefore, mfsakele shulchan v'lo misayelei. He can't walk through that area. And therefore they did not block anything. But he holds that Mishum, the Shechina, because of the cover for the Shechina, Lav Arch Ar Lamela Mahaja, we don't want you to walk directly facing the opening. We wanted you to walk between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach, so when you're walking in, you're not directly facing the opening of the curtain to go into the Kodesh Kedoshim, because that shows a tremendous lack of covet. So we're learning in our Gemara that they made a machlokes if there's one curtain or two curtains, and the machlokes, and that machlokes will have relevance which way you enter into the Beis Hamikdash. Which way you could enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where was the opening to come in? So there's a very interesting discussion that the Shailas Shuvas Beis Shlomo discusses, where there was a shul that they want to enlarge in the Ezras Noshim. But in order to be able to enlarge in the Ezras Noshim, they had to add beams into the shul. And by adding beams into the shul, this is a tshuva in the Shas Shuvas Beis Shlomo, Chelek Aleph Simchav Ches, and by adding those beams, you're diminishing the area of the shul. And the question is, are you allowed to diminish the area of a shul? So the Beis Shlomo uses our Gemara to answer that question. He says that in our Gemara, we learned that because the Beis Hamikdash Sheni was so much taller than the Beis Hamikdash Rishon, so they couldn't just put a wall up, the wall which is less than an amma up, because it would not be able to stand with that height. So therefore, since the Pasuk says that every inch of the Beis Hamikdash, Hakol B'Sav Yad Hashem Elai Heskel, was planned out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they didn't know what to do. Seems from Rashi, says the Beis Shlomo, that the only concern was that since all of the dimensions of the Beis Hamikdash are very, very deliberately spoken about by that Pasuk, that's why you had to do it, that you had to build it very deliberately that way. But if you didn't have that problem, the fact that maybe you're diminishing from the area of the Beis Hamikdash would not be a consideration. So we see from here, says the Beis Shlomo, that if there's a need to diminish the area of the shul for a constructive purpose, we may do so. And in fact, there's a similar tshuva in the Shas Tshuvas Divrei Chaim, Chelek Aleph Siman Dalid, where there's a shul that has a dome over it. And in order to make that dome nicer, bigger, prettier, they had to put up beams. And that would diminish from the area of the shul. And the question was one may allowed to do so? And he says that you're allowed to do so, again, for the same purpose as we're learning in our shir, that it's being done for the purpose, it's being done for the purpose of beautifying the shul. And even though it diminishes from the area of the shul, it still may be done, because unless when the Torah says the specific dimensions where we're speaking about the Beis Hamikdash, everywhere else we wouldn't have this problem. Rabbi Yossi, so the Gemara says that you walk directly along the wall on the north side to enter into the Kodesh Kedoshim, but the question is, how may one do so? Isn't that a lack of covet, as the Gemara just said? Amalach, he explains that we don't have this problem, because Chaviven Yisrael, Shalai Tzrich HaKosav L'Shliach. Klai Yisrael is so beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we don't need a Shliach that we should be able to enter. And therefore, we could enter directly without any problem. So I saw that the Rishonim, the Rebbeinu Chananel, points out that all year round, the Kohen had pamoinim on the bottom of his beged to indicate that he was coming in. But on Yom Kippur, we're on such a madrega that we don't need to notify that we're coming in, and we can walk, so to speak, straight. Rashi takes this one step further. Rashi's saying that this pasuk is teaching us the special relationship that exists between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that any Jew who wants to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the right to daven directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at any time without any shlichim. And therefore, we could enter directly to Beis HaMikdash as well. So I saw that the Sefer Siach Yitzchak explains that exactly is the machloikus. The machloikus here is between Rameh and Rabbi Yossi, what is a more important concept to focus on? Is it more important to focus on showing the special relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that we could enter the Beis HaMikdash, that we could directly go to Him at any time or any place? Or is a more important concept to show cover to the Shekhinah that we don't walk in directly? And I saw that the Sefer Shemar Lemudim says that when the Gemara says here, Chavivim Yisrael, Shalai Tzrichim HaKosov L'Shliach, what the Pasuk is teaching us is, what the Gemara is teaching us is, the Dvarim HaYotzim Alev Nechnasim Alev. If a Jew turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in earnest, with all of his heart, then he can be guaranteed Dvarim HaYotzim Alev, that whatever he will be mispal for, Nechnasim Alev, will go directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he will hear our tefillahs at all times. Rabbi Huda, so ask the Gemara, according to Rabbi Huda, which we explained, there were two entrances. First an entrance on the south side, and then an entrance on the north side. And therefore, according to Rabbi Huda, it was well understood why you have to walk on the south side. But why do you walk between the Shulchan and Menorah? Why, if you're walking, can't you walk directly by Menorah L'Kaisel, more to the south? Answers, the Gemara Meshachrei Mani. So I saw that most Rishonim explain that since the area between the Menorah and the wall is a tight area, it's only 2.5 amos wide, so there's a concern that the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, the Big Day Lovin that he's wearing, will get dirty from the Menorah that's giving off smoke that he has to pass by very close to it. Other Rishonim say, we're not referring to the Menorah making the clothing dirty, we're talking about the wall. Since the Menorah was so close to the wall all year round, it was 2.5 amos away from the wall all year round, so that made the wall next to Menorah dirty. And we're concerned that if the Kohen Gadol is walking past that wall to get to the opening of the curtain where he wants to enter, he's going to have to, because it's such a tight fit, rub against the wall, which is black from the Menorah. And we don't want his clothing to get dirty, so that's why we want him to walk on the south side, but on the side between the Menorah and the Mizbeach, which is a wider area, and will prevent that way his clothing from getting dirty.